Hey, I'm so glad you made the decision to be here at CCB this weekend. Hope you're having a great week, and I hope when you leave, it's even better. But we're in week two of a series called Christmas Unplugged. And to get things going today, I just want to be upfront and tell you, Christmas is literally my absolute favorite time of year. Anybody else in the same boat? You love Christmas? Yeah, several of us do. If you love this season, if you had to pick one word to describe why, what would it be? Here's a few for me why I love Christmas. I love that it's actually cold in Phoenix, finally, right? I know you ladies do too, because I see you breaking out those big boots as soon as you can, okay? As soon as it gets cold. I put cold clothes on too. I love it. I love the lights. I love the energy that lights bring no matter like where you go. I love family. I love seeing families come together. I love our CCB Christmas Eve service. And if you've never been to one of our Christmas Eve services, I'm telling you, don't miss it. Change your vacation plans. Invite as many people as you can, because something happens on Christmas Eve around here at CCB that it's just special. I love gifts. I don't love getting gifts. I don't love shopping for gifts. I just love giving gifts, specifically to my kids, because I just love watching their faces like light up when they open up a gift. And so I like this so much that I've begun to mess with my kids a little bit on Christmas, or at least try to. For example, several years ago, when one of my daughters was turning 8, she wanted this specific doll. And so, you know, we bought the doll, but I wrapped it at the bottom of this box, and then I put a bunch of tissue paper on top of it. And then I got this, like, old ratty doll, right? I mean, it's like half its hair was pulled out. I think it maybe had, like, one arm. And I just stuck it in there. And then on Christmas, she opened it up, and she was like, just look. She was like, Daddy. I was like, honey, that's all we could find. Okay, that's all we could do, you know? And I said, well, just look, is there anything else in there? And she was, and then she lit up, you know. I love that. You know. Maybe I'm sick. I don't know. There's probably a lot of words we could use to describe what many of us love about this season. You know, but as a pastor who gets to interact with so many people around Christmas, let me tell you a word I've never heard someone use to describe why they love Christmas. It's this word: peace. Have you? Have you ever heard someone say, you know what, between Black Friday and Christmas, that's the most peaceful time of my entire year? Of course you haven't. Why? Because what do we feel around this season? We feel the exact opposite of peace. We feel stress. I mean, psychologists, did you know that psychologists have this test they give people to measure stress? It's 41 items, and they ask you to check every item that applies to you. And top of the list is like death of a loved one, and then there's divorce and illness. There's only one holiday that shows up on the list of most stressful things, 41 things. Do you know what it is? 4th of July. It is. No, it's Christmas. It's Christmas. A Gallup poll they just did recently confirmed this. They said that 76% of Americans experience a lack of sleep because of stress from Black Friday to Christmas. Is that unbelievable? I mean, think about all the things that just add stress to your life this time of year. I mean, for one, we have to figure out, like, what decorations we're going to put up and when. And now people are putting up decorations 4 weeks before Thanksgiving, which is wrong. Okay, it's just wrong. Then you got to figure out how many gifts you want to buy and how much you want to spend, all this financial stress. And that's why last weekend, if you missed Don's message on Unplug from Spending, I'm serious, go watch it. It is so good. But for those of the guys in the audience, men, let me just speak to you for a second. Those of you that have a wife or, you know, a significant other or girlfriend, do you ever feel like the odds are stacked against you to win this game of giving a gift to your spouse or girlfriend? Do you ever feel this way? I'm like, I feel like if Jamie doesn't tell me exactly what she wants for Christmas, I feel like this is my odds, 0.0033%. That's what I feel like. I'm like, you gotta tell me. I heard a story once of this guy. He bought his wife this beautiful diamond ring for Christmas. And his buddy found out and he said, why'd you do that? She wanted a new Jeep. He's like, well, where am I gonna find a fake Jeep? Right? Some of you will get that in a moment. I'm like, what is that? You know, on top of that, you have all the activities, right? School activities go out of control and parties, and you gotta figure out, you know, who to invite over and what family's coming in when, and do you invite Uncle Eddie to Christmas? You know, we all have Uncle Eddie. You know, I don't know. Do we do that? Do we do a Christmas card? What do we put on the Christmas card? Who do we send the Christmas card to? You know, go on and on. That's just the light stuff. And some of you have some, if we were honest, some much more serious burdens that you're dealing with. I mean, some of you have some really complicated family dynamics. You have a blended family. And Christmas just makes it, well, stressful. Some of you have an illness or a job that's on the line or a marriage that's on the rocks. Some of you, this will be the first Christmas that you've ever spent without that loved one that's not here anymore. So the reality for most of us is that this season, what it does, right or wrong, it's just a reality, is it puts a magnifying glass on our life. And here's what it does. If things are good in your life, it magnifies that to the point where it keeps you really, really busy. If things are tough in your life, it magnifies all that in your life around this season to the point where you have anxiety that's unlike maybe any other time of year. So for most of us, if we had to choose between these two words, between peace and stress at Christmas, we would have to lean towards this side. Most of us would. And what I want you to think about today, what I want to talk with you about today is this, is how ironic this is. Because think about this. The reason we celebrate Christmas in the first place is because Jesus came. God gave us Jesus as his son. That's why we celebrate. And did Jesus come to give us peace or stress? Let me read you two of the most famous passages in Scripture describing what Christmas brings to us. The first is in Luke chapter 2, if you want to follow along. Luke chapter 2, verse 14, it says this. On earth, peace to those whom his favor rests. This is the first announcement the day Jesus is born. The angels come, and this is the first description of what we hear Jesus is going to bring into our life. He brings what? He brings peace. Then the most famous prophecy, probably, you could argue, about Jesus' birth comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And it says this, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders." In other words, he's going to be a king. And listen to this. This is so huge. It says, "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father," and do you remember the next three words? Prince of Peace. That's what he's going to bring to your life and mine. Now, this word Prince of Peace is very interesting because the word prince actually is the Hebrew word sar. It means leader, ultimate authority. No one else is above this. It's where the Romans got the word Caesar. Caesar. You see that? And so this means that Jesus is the author. No one else can bring as much of what? Of peace to our lives. And this word peace is the Hebrew word shalom. And it doesn't mean an absence of hostility or an absence of war. It's something so much richer, so much deeper than that. The word shalom, it actually means to be whole. It means to be complete. It means to have peace beyond understanding. So think about this. I mean, do you realize how profound this is? At Christmas, we have the Prince of Peace that came into our world. And here we are, 2,000 years later, we are running around with our heads cut off, stressed, celebrating that fact. Does anybody else think that's ironic? Is it just me? So here's what I want to do today. I want to tell you how you can unplug from stress this Christmas. Now, I can't promise to remove all your stress, but what I can do is I can tell you how to have peace in the midst of it. And the way I want to do that today is I want to look at three types of peace that we're given in Scripture, that we're promised we can have this Christmas season. But as we go through these, I just want to point out up front that these are listed in order of importance. In other words, the first type of peace is by far the most important. And you cannot have the second type of peace if you don't have the first type of peace. And you can't have the third type of peace unless you have the first two. So if you're taking notes, the very first kind of peace that Scripture tells us about that we can experience is this. It's peace with God. Or you might say this is spiritual peace. You may have never thought about this before, but the greatest need inside of every single human who's ever existed on earth is to have peace with God. If you're married or you have a significant other, when there's not peace relationally between you, doesn't it rob you of peace and joy in almost every other area of your life? I mean, sometimes I'll say, you know, happy wife, happy life. You know, that's what it is. And there's some truth to that. But the actual ultimate truth is that unless you have peace with God, you will never have peace in all the other important areas of your life. Why? Because deep inside every single one of us is a hole that only God can fill. you're not just a physical being, you're a spiritual being. You have a soul. And for so many of us, you know what we do? There's this rebellious side of us that thinks that we can fill our lives with so many other things besides God because we want to do it without God. And so we try to fill all these things and try to get peace. And so this Christmas, you know what? Some of you, you're trying to find peace with something. You know what this something might be for you? It might be money. You might have in your mind that, you know, if we just had a little more money, we would actually have peace this Christmas. All the financial stress, we'd be able to buy whatever we needed to for the kids or others. I promise you, more money does not equal more peace. I've counseled couples and people that make $30,000 a year to some couples that make over $3 million a year. And you know what? They both have financial stress. Some of you, this is what you're thinking. Well, I'd sure like to try that millionaire type of stress. Bring some of that on. Be careful what you wish for. It's 100 times the amount of stress when you make that level of money. I sat with a couple one time that they made over $1 million. And at the end of the conversation, I just looked at them and I said this. You know what would solve 90% of your marital stress? If you went back to making $100,000 a year. And they just nodded their heads because they knew it was true. One of the greatest lies that exists in our world today is that more money or something that money could buy will give you peace in life. Some of you aren't chasing after something, though. You're chasing after somewhere. You know, if you just had another job, if you could just move to that other city, if you could get into that school, well, that would finally bring you peace. Or maybe it's not something or somewhere. For a lot of us today, we'd have to admit that we're chasing after peace with someone. If they would just date us, if they would just love us, if they would take us back, if he would be the husband or she would be the wife that I need, then I would finally have peace. And here's just what I want you to know today, is that you could potentially find a momentary type of peace in something, somewhere, or someone, but it's just a moment. It's temporary. Scripture is clear that there's only one place that we can truly find peace, that peace came and belongs to and truly flows from having peace with God. And no scripture, I think, makes that more clear, potentially, than Ephesians chapter 2. It says this, for he himself, Jesus, is what? Is our peace. Jesus is our peace. So here's the first thing I want you to know today, if you're taking notes, is that true peace is not found in something, somewhere, or someone. Peace, it's found in God's Son. Some of you are here today because that's exactly what you needed to hear. You know why? Because you've chased after something, somewhere, or someone for so long that if you got honest, you know it hasn't fulfilled. It hasn't brought you peace. And you've wondered if there's more. There is more. It's when you truly have peace between you and God. Love this verse in 2 Corinthians. It says, through Christ, God made peace between who? Between himself and us. That's peace with God. So if you want to have peace this Christmas, here's the first question I want to ask you. Can you confidently say you have peace between you and God? And can I give you a litmus test to try to just make it a little more concrete? When you're alone at night, it's just you and God, no one else is around. When you pray, do you know for certain God's forgiven you? Some of you are like, Ashley, you have me at when? Because I don't pray, ever. Okay. But for those of us that do pray, I mean, seriously, think about this. When it's just you and God, and you're all alone, however you pray, standing up, sitting down, you might kneel down before God. When it's just you and God, and you pray, do you know for certain that you're forgiven? When I was young, before I was a follower of Jesus, I remember just laying in my bed before God, and there was this nagging thing inside of me, and I knew there was something not right between me and God. I knew it. And I used to pray, And when I finally decided to follow Jesus and be baptized, something happened that I can't explain. I got a peace that transcends understanding. Does that describe you? Because that is the most important peace you will ever have in life. And until you have that first type of peace, you can't move on to the second type of peace that you can have, and that is peace with yourself. Internal peace. There's a different kind of peace than just peace with God. Let me show you a verse in Colossians. Colossians 3:15 says this: "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart." It goes on the very next verse and it says this: "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly." Do you have this internal peace about you? Have you ever met someone that you look at their circumstances, there's something crazy going on with their lives, and yet they have a peace that just exudes from them that you can't even explain? Years ago, I remember sitting in a hospital waiting room with our campus pastor, Dave Van Dong, in Peoria, and his wife, Rachel. They had just found out that their two-week-old son, Dawson, had a brain defect. And doctors said, we have to operate immediately, and they took him off. And here's a picture of Dawson, 2 weeks old. I just remember sitting there, looking into their faces and going, how do you have peace? Because when you operate on a two-week-old, I'm telling you, that could have been the last moment they ever saw their son. And I thought, I looked in their eyes, and they had peace that was undescribable. We have friends that during the recession, he lost his job. 9 months he was out of work. They had peace. This last week, I sat down with a friend of mine. His wife left him this year. This last week would have marked their 20th wedding anniversary. Listen, not to sugarcoat it, it's been devastating on this guy. But I look in his eyes, and there's still a peace that you can't describe. Do you know anybody like that? I mean, I look into the eyes of Cardinals fans with extreme peace. I'm like, did you see the last game? Do you know what's going on? Listen, all joking aside, do you know someone that has extreme peace in spite of their circumstances? If not, I want you to listen to the story of Eric and Andrea Huffert. Watch this.
She did take me in and she got me to the liver specialist. So when we got to the liver specialist, within like 5 minutes, he was just completely alarmed that I had lost 19 pounds in 3 weeks. He spoke to her first and then he came to me and just said, I can't really tell you what kind, but you do have cancer.
When he told me, because he came to talk to me first, and like I kind of got tunnel vision. All I heard was cancer. I was already crying. I was already like, what are we gonna do? And then I get to him and he's like, it's okay. You know, we'll get through this. Like, God's been with us the whole way. He's not gonna leave us now.
The first 6 days I spent at the hospital, that second night of chemo, because I had to do a 48-hour round of chemo, that second night, I was sicker than anything I've ever felt or seen. And it broke me that night. It really broke me. And I was praying. It was kind of like a weird conversation. I was going from like crying to laughing to feeling understanding that it's okay, that we'll get through this. Like, this is just part of the process. It really didn't hit me until my hair fell out like a week and a half ago. That's when it really started. I was like, wow, this is real. I still know the joy I feel inside, and I can't hide that. I notice the difference when I smile and when I speak. I feel it in my cheeks. It's genuine. It's real. It's a true, like, joy. I don't know how to explain it fully. I just feel like I feel bad for others that I think are kind of missing out on it.
we are extended a peace that, I mean, that you can't really understand. And, you know, and I always say, like, we're made for eternity. So, and it really put it into perspective for me.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I've gone through the pains, and there's hard days. Our job's not to understand God, it's to trust God. And I look through the Bible, and I can't say I'm a scholar, but I just want to get it right. That's kind of what I'm more focused at now for myself, is what kind of legacy will I leave behind. You know, I've heard sermons on leave the legend and start the legacy, and that's really stuck with me. I just know, like she said, like God, he's the same God today as he was yesterday, and the same God he's going to be tomorrow. He doesn't change. I don't know, there's no other way I want to feel about it than peaceful. And I know it's not fictitious within my soul, so it's not hard to do. I'm just excited to see what is God going to do with this, because I know it's not over for us. We just started our journey together.
Yeah. Praise God. You know, what's interesting about Eric and Andrea's story is it's not a story of miraculous healing. There's no ending where, oh, he's healed. But what you see in him is something you can't describe. And listen, the prognosis is not good. I know he doesn't come out like that. The prognosis with them is not good. But here's what you see in their life. This isn't in your notes, but if you want to write it down, peace with God leads to the peace of God. It's when you have peace with God that you can have the peace of God. You know, the first time I ever met Eric and Andrea, a bunch of neighborhood groups came together and did an event for them to support them. And I was at this event, and I walked by them. They were talking with this other couple really intently. They had kind of serious looks on their face. And so as I walked by them, I heard Eric say to the other couple, "Oh, I'm so sorry you're going through that. Let us pray for you right now." And here's exactly what went in my mind. I was like, "What? You're counseling them? Buddy, you're the one that's got cancer." But when you have this internal peace, it just oozes out of you no matter where you go. Does that describe you? Can I ask you a question that maybe will probe you on this one? Here's the question I want to ask you. It's in your notes. When you look in the mirror, are you at peace? I mean, really, like when you look in the mirror, are you at peace? You know, for some of you, you look in the mirror, and you know what you see? All you see is pain. Some of you look in the mirror, you know what you see? All you see is guilt from something you did in the past. Some of you look in the mirror, and someone did something to you so long ago, and you've just carried that with you, and that's all you see when you look in the mirror. And if that's you, when you look in the mirror, you're not at peace. Could it be, just could it be, that potentially you're not looking at things from God's vantage point? Could it be that maybe you've taken your eyes off Jesus and you're just so focused on what's going on inside of you or around you? I mean, you know what's easy to do during times like this? What's so easy is look in the mirror and just go, "God, why?" You throw your hands up, you look in the sky, and you go, "God, what am I supposed to do about this? I mean, what am I supposed to do about that? God, give me an answer. Write it in the sky." Why would God write it in the sky when he's already written it in a book? And maybe this is a season for you where you need to get back into God's word like never before. Did you know the word peace is found over 250 times in Scripture? And as I was studying all those passages this week, you know what was profound to me? You know the book of the Bible that has the word peace in it almost more than any other book in the Bible? It's the book of Job. If you know anything about the story of Job, here's a man who lost everything and still had peace with God. How? Because he had an internal peace. He kept his focus on Jesus. You have to keep your focus on Jesus. So does that describe you? When you look in the mirror, do you have peace? Because if you have peace with God, you can have peace internally. You can have peace with yourself. And then and only then can you have the third type of peace. And that third type of peace is represented, well, by a table and chairs. This is the situation around Christmas that so many of you are dreading. When you think about peace, you know, you skip right to this one. You're like, you know what I have? I don't have peace with someone else. Because you have to sit around the table with someone at Christmas that you don't have peace with. Or they're not at Christmas. They're absent. Why? Because there isn't peace with them or the family or someone else. And so this is the one that you're dreading the most. So here's what you do. If you don't have relational peace, which by the way is the third type of peace, peace with others. If you don't have that this Christmas, what are you supposed to do? Listen very carefully. Here's what you do if that's you. You come back next week. Because that's exactly what I'm going to talk about. But today, let me just tell you this. When it comes to having relational peace, when it comes to having peace with others, you've got to have peace with God, and you have to have peace internally first. You know, Christmas, more than any other time of the year, has a tendency to magnify relational brokenness all around us. I remember right after Jamie and I got married, my parents went through a really bad divorce. The hardest part for me was watching my dad hurt my mom. My dad was my hero. And my dad and I's relationship became broken for several years after that. What I didn't realize is as I went through my year, I just kind of ignored it. Because when you go throughout your year, you can get busy, it's out of sight, out of mind. But something happened as Christmas approached. Especially as Christmas Day approached, December 25th, I found myself getting more agitated. I found myself getting short, lacking patience. I mean, Jamie would be like, "What's wrong with you?" And I didn't know it at the time, but what happened was there was this lack of peace between myself and my dad. And Christmas just magnified that. It just put a spotlight on it. Some of you are in the same boat. Maybe it is a parent. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's an ex. Maybe it's a brother or a sister or a family member or a friend. For some of you, it's a child. It breaks your heart. But although we're not going to get into it next week, here's what I want to tell you. When it comes to relational peace, peace relationally, you can't give what you don't own. Let me say that again. When it comes to relational peace, you can't give and you can't have relational peace if you don't own it internally first. Or let me put it this way, another way. I'd say this. You can't give relationally what you don't own internally. That's why you have to have peace with God and you have to have peace in the mirror with yourself before you can truly have peace with others. I heard a story years ago about a dad whose son kept running into the room. He's watching the football game. His son kept saying, "Dad, let's go play outside, let's go play outside." And this dad was so into the game, he just wanted to finish the game. He kept telling his son, "Later, later, in a minute, when the game's over." His son kept coming back over and over again, "Dad, come on, let's go play, let's go play." And wouldn't let up on his father. And so this dad got this brilliant idea. On the ground was a magazine, and on the front of the magazine was a picture of the world. And so he just ripped off the front of this magazine, and he began to tear it into pieces. And he's tore this world into pieces, and he hands it to his son, and he says, "Son, if you can put this back together, and when you get done with it, then we'll go play." He knew it would take him a while to do it. Well, 2 minutes later, his son walks back, and he's put the whole world back together piece by piece and taped it all together. His dad knew it would have taken him at least 20 minutes. His dad's thinking, "I think I might have a child prodigy on my hands." He's like, "Son, how on earth did you do that so quick?" Here's what his son said. He said, "Dad, it was pretty easy. On the back of the world was a picture of a man. When I focused on putting the picture of the man together, the whole world came together." And some of you today, this Christmas, your world seems like it's falling apart in all sorts of little pieces all around you. And what I want you to know today more than anything else is the only way to put all the pieces back together is when you truly focus on the person of Jesus. That's it. In the New Testament, the Greek word for peace is eirene. It literally means to bind together. And God came on this earth at Christmas to become one of us, to bring us peace. It's the message of Christmas. So my takeaway today is this. I want you to get your notes out, whether you're using a mobile app or whether you've got them handwritten. And I want you to answer the questions that are in the notes. I put two questions in there. One is, when you pray, when you get just alone with you and God, are you confident that you're forgiven? Yes? No? There's a blank. Why? I mean, just get honest with yourself today. I mean, you're only as good as you are honest, right? But for those of us that maybe are followers of Jesus, the second question is this. When you look in the mirror, do you have peace? Yes? No? Why? And then here's what I want you to do after you've answered those questions. I want you to answer this. What do I need to change this Christmas so I can experience true peace? You know, maybe for some of you today, you know that you've never made a decision to get right with God. You haven't. And if that's you, I just want to challenge you. Maybe you came with someone, maybe you know someone that's a follower of Jesus. Would you just get with them and ask them, hey, I need to kind of figure this thing out. We have staff on every one of our campuses that would be more than willing to sit down and help you. But if you are a follower of Jesus, do you have peace with yourself? Do you have this internal peace? If not, have you taken your eyes off Jesus this Christmas season, in the midst of all the stress, in the midst of all the craziness? Turn your eyes back to Jesus. Can I give you some super practical things you could do? One is, I mean, be careful getting so caught up in the gift thing like we talked about last week. I mean, think about this. The story of Jesus is he got three gifts on Christmas, not 30, right? Maybe you haven't taken the challenge from last week to put together a Christmas calendar that just kind of every day maybe puts you or your family and focuses you back in. Our family's been doing this for years. Here's what we do. Every single night as a family, for the 24 days leading up to Christmas, we get together as a family around the table. I found this book years ago that just every single day walks through one element of Christmas, and it points how that actually, at its root, points to Jesus, from the tree to the lights to the candy cane. I mean, it's so our family gets around the table, and we just do that. And I'm telling you, it's as much for me as it is anybody else. And you might say, well, how do you get your kids to do that every night? Well, it's easy. I bribe them. I do. For years, we've been buying this Lego Advent calendar that every day you get to open and put a Lego together. And our kids, even at their ages, they still like doing it. So that's what we do. But no matter what you need to do this Christmas, whether it's getting in Scripture every day or getting together with a family, here's what I want you to know. Listen carefully. You can have peace this Christmas. But it only comes from the Prince of Peace. It does not come from something. It does not come from somewhere. And it does not come from someone. It only comes from God's Son. As we close today, I want to read you one last piece of scripture. This is the words of Jesus right before he left this earth and went back to heaven. He said this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. I do not give you in something. I don't give you in somewhere, and I don't give you in someone. It comes from me, the Prince of Peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Let's pray. God, you know this is a season that we can get so distracted we take our eyes off you. God, some of us, we know we don't have peace with you. And as much as we don't want to admit it, as much as we want to try to do it on our own, it's time for us to make a decision to surrender and be forgiven by you, to experience true peace. God, some of us have made that decision in the past. We've been baptized. But God, this type of year just has a tendency to take our eyes off of you. And so we need to refocus. And I pray you would just give all of us the courage to actually do that, to put aside some of the activities, to maybe get away from all the gift focus and to get focused on you so we can have internal peace. God, may we fix our eyes on you this Christmas. And in the midst of that, may all of us experience true peace. In Jesus' name, amen.